This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining us now for the Rangers Player Show is their catcher, Jeff Mathis. How you doing today, Jeff?
I'm doing good, guys. How y'all?
Hey, we're great. Thanks so much for waiting. We appreciate that, and we're glad to have you on now. We were very excited about your acquisition by the Rangers this past offseason because you are regarded through many parts of baseball as being the best defensive catcher in the game, and you do a lot of things well with regard to that. And so I just want to ask you, in terms of receiving and framing and blocking and throwing and all the many different things that go into being a catcher, what is your absolute favorite thing to do and why?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think there's a lot of things that we have to pay attention to, but to me, I think just building those relationships with different pitchers is something that I get the most joy out of, and I feel like the most exciting. Although, you know, blocking the ball can be fun at times, but it's not fun to work on. But I think just establishing those relationships with those pitchers is something that I really enjoy.
Okay, and then conversely, because of your experiences, you know, you've got, like, some young guys, you know, on the roster, like Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, who's learning the catcher position, and then you would feel some sort of connection and probably helping him along and working with him. Do you enjoy that process as well, and how is that different?
Yeah, I definitely do, especially when you have, you know, another catcher on the team like Isaiah. He's a great kid, and he wants to be the best at whatever he's doing, and that's something that's makes it easier when you're trying to relay information and, you know, help somebody out when they're that willing to put the work in and do the things necessary to get better. It's pretty awesome.
Man, I've heard about a lot of the you mentioned that working on blocking balls is not the funnest thing in the world. And I've heard horror stories about some of the things, like you get a pitching machine, you put it on 100 miles an hour, and you keep scooting it closer and closer to the plate. And if somebody doesn't block a pitch, they get eliminated, and you just have those balls firing into the dirt right in front of the catcher.
Sounds like a prank.
I know. So what are the toughest ways to work on that, or what are some of the most interesting ways to work on blocking?
Well, I'm familiar with the drill that you're talking about, but I haven't done that in several years, and I'm thankful for that. But there's so many ways you can work on it. I just think the repetition of being in that position, squatted down as low to the ground, or crouched down as low to the ground, putting yourself in a good position to actually block the ball, is some of the things that I try to work on. I mean, you know, I'm not a spring chicken anymore, so it's not like I'm out there working, you know, quite as hard on that blocking and, you know, that strenuous movement. So it's, to me, like, now it's all about just being in the right spot, making sure that I'm not late getting to that position, and drills to get me in that spot are what, you know, what I do. So it's not anything crazy, but just a reminder of where my body's supposed to be and the timing of it.
I think chicken is delicious in any season, but hey, so as people, you know, from the outside world ask you about what you do, what do you think is the most nuanced, detailed thing about your gig that people don't know anything about or don't understand, or there's a misconception of as far as catching goes?
Ooh, I just really think everything that goes into it. I mean, yes, we know that you have to catch it, and the framing's a big part, the throwing and blocking's a big part, but, you know, the signs that come from the dugout on a every pitch basis, and what they mean, and what they mean to different people, what they mean to different infielders, and all of us having to be on the same page is something that, you know, I think the average fan doesn't really understand, you know, that all that goes into that.
Yeah, I'm super curious about how much goes into prepping to call a game as well. In other words, being super familiar with all the hitters, and not only just familiar with the hitters, but familiar with the trends that those hitters are going through. If they're, you know, whatever they're doing specifically at that time going into that game. And you have to do, I would assume, a relentless amount of research to do that, correct?
Yes, no doubt. I mean, that's something that I was introduced to probably about 4 or 5 years ago, and something that I didn't do a whole lot of, you know, the first few years in the bigs, but that's something that's really important and definitely a huge part of my routine and getting ready for, you know, a game that I'm playing in or really any new series. Just learning, you know, all those guys, what they can and can't do, and actually what they're doing the best at, you know, this period in time, like in the now. So, you know, having to know, you know, all hitters in that other dugout and what they like to do and how they're doing it at that time is something that's definitely huge day in and day out.
Jeff Mathis joining us on the Rangers Player Show here on Ben and Skin, 105.3 The Fan. So because you are an OG and you have been around a long time and you've seen really a lot of the changes in the game, right? I think the majority of changes in baseball really have come in the last 5 or 6, 7 years, or at least it seems that way to me from the outside looking in. But you guys have a young manager, and I think the role of manager maybe has changed over the last 10 years or so. I'm curious what your perspective is on Chris Woodward being a young manager and how that job has changed since you first came into the as if you think it's the same, then that's a different opinion. But I'd love to hear your analysis of that.
I think it has changed, you know, just like a lot of other things. But I've been very impressed with what Woody's done, you know, in his little time here and in our time together. You know, I feel like nowadays the managers are so much better at communicating and throughout, you know, all the players in the clubhouse, you know, just being on the same page, having open door, open ear all the time for anybody to go in there and bounce stuff off of them or vice versa is something that really stands out to me between, you know, managers back in the day and the ones now.
You know, it's interesting. A lot of catchers, they either fall into one camp or the other. They're like an elite defensive catcher or they're an elite offensive catcher. And it's rare that a guy is both those things because there's so much work that goes into either side. It's impossible. All the things we just detailed, it's impossible to, hey, it's almost like the last thing you're supposed to do is go work on your hitting because you've got a million other things to do on your way to doing that. So that said, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa is a super hybrid. He's a really unique athlete and type of catcher and type of baseball player. And I'd love to know, with your vast experience and your expertise, I'd love to get your thoughts on him thus far and in working with him.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's very rare that you see, you know, catchers excelling on both sides of the ball. And that's something that, you know, I find very intriguing and you know, it's amazing that guys can pull that off. But, you know, yeah, I feel like he's going to be a really good hitter. You see it in his at-bats. You know, we're platooning right now, playing every other day. But he's making adjustments on the offensive side, too, that I think are going to propel him, you know, in the box. And likewise on the defensive side. I mean, he's putting that work in that we were talking about earlier, you know, learning these guys, understanding, you know, what they like to do and when they like to do it. And, you know, I feel like he's going to be able to, you know, really contribute on both sides of the ball.
So our buddy Jared Sandler of Rangers Pre and Post here on 105.3 The Fan tells us that you're also a pretty big recruit football-wise coming out of high school and maybe played a little quarterback and that was a strong possibility for you. I'm curious what kind of a football player you are, how into football you still are, and what the recruiting experiences were like for you.
Football was actually number one when I was coming up. It was what I enjoyed a little bit more than baseball, but I wouldn't say that I was a huge recruit. I mean, I did visit Florida State to an hour from the house, but as far as like, you know, other visits, it wasn't as serious because by that time I kind of had known that baseball was going to be the route. But there's no doubt, you know, that I miss football. I enjoy it. I stay super involved, you know, with when football season's here, whether it be the Florida State Seminoles or the Tampa Bay Bucks, who I root for. So. I definitely love the game.
Okay, I'd like to go further into this, if you don't mind, since you're a professional athlete and you know how difficult it is to be that. And then, you know, we've always had this debate on the show, you know, or not a debate, but discussion. Quarterback might be the hardest job in all of professional sports just because you're trying to get killed and make split-second decisions and see things. So as someone who played the position and understands what it's like to be a pro athlete and is still very involved in watching it, what kind of things run through your mind when you're like you're watching? You're a Bucks fan. You're watching Jameis play. What kind of things go into your own evaluations of him as a quarterback? As you know, from the perspective you come from?
That's a really good question. You know, having played it a little bit in high school, and we actually ran triple option, so I can't speak for, you know, that pro-style offense, but I understand kind of what it takes to know the small playbook that we had in high school compared to, you know, what these guys are going through and the playbooks they're having to learn and memorize. Like, I can't even imagine, you know, having all those things running through your head while trying to dodge a defensive end and make a, you know, hit a 15-yard slant down the middle. But, you know, I think about the way that we prepare and we do our studying, you know, hitters. You know, that's kind of what a quarterback has to do for that defense. And then learning all the many types of defenses and looks that, you know, they have to, you know, understand and recognize before that ball is even snapped is something that I can't imagine. And, it's special what those guys do.
Hey, speaking of special, you should hear the other Rangers catchers in this organization at all levels talk about you, man. They talk about you like you are a god. You seem like a real humble guy, but just wanted you to know how much love and respect those guys got for you. Hey, thanks so much for taking the time to jump on with us and for appearing on this week's Rangers Players Show. Jeff Mathis will receive a $100 gift card to Pluckers.
Yeah.
Pluckers, a proud sponsor of the Texas Rangers. Yeah. Visit one of the 7 DFW locations today or check them out at pluckers.com. Thanks a lot, Jeff. Appreciate it.
It's awesome, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right, there he goes, Jeff Mathis. You know, I was trying to figure it. He doesn't sound like a Florida accent, although I don't really know what a Florida accent is, but he's kind of.
The only Florida accent I know is the hillbilly guys that are cooking up crank and fighting and, you know, marrying an alligator and stuff.
I'm a catcher.
It's like if you're just hold on, Ben. If you're just a normal, you know, Floridian, I don't think you have an accent. But if you're one of the hillbilly gator types, that's different.
You like Andy Reid?
I mean,
that's like West Florida right there.
Yeah. No, yeah, like you're talking about up there. They call it the panhandle.
How you feeling about the game, though?
Yeah, because you're out there, you're basically in Alabama.
Right. Right. I think that has different than, like, some guy that lives in Orlando.
I love being behind the plate.
Yep, I really do. I love to eat, and I love to catch.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.